And so when I assign work to students, I'm able to start giving them feedback before they've even submitted it. Google Classroom is the perfect way to do response to intervention.
So he threw the chicken up in the air, expecting the chicken just to fly out of the stadium.
Bringing you not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, 50 awesome Google Classroom tips from the Alice Keeler coming up live in just seconds.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no other.
That's right. Today we have Alice Keeler, Google Certified Teacher from Fresno, California, and author of the book, The 50 Things You Can Do with Google Classroom. Just came out this month. There she is holding the book. Oh, we got two copies over there. Where's my copy? Okay.
So this is Alice, it, Tim. This is your copy.
Oh, that's my copy. Okay.
I'll send you a copy.
Welcome to the show, Alice.
Thank you for having me.
So cool to have you on here. And we're not even going to debate today. That's the nice thing, you know?
We always could.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you'd like that very much. Why don't you go ahead and just get us started by letting our viewers know what your book is mainly about. Obviously, you know, the title makes it pretty obvious, but who would want to read your book?
Yeah, great. The book is 50 Things You Can Do with Google Classroom, and obviously it's about Google Classroom, but really the focus is on what you can do with it and not necessarily how to use it. It's not a step-by-step how-to guide, although it definitely introduces you to how to get started and how to sign up. So who would be great for using this book is anyone who is getting started with Google Classroom or thinking about Google Classroom. It's a good introductory to what it's capable of. The number one compliment that we really get, besides the fact that the tips are really good, is this layout is just, it's so nicely. You can see in there we've got screenshots and you know, the 50 things are organized. Just out really well. So it's really easy to take it in bite-sized chunks. So as you're just trying to ease into using Google Classroom and how to use it efficiently, this can really be a nice manual for you. So it really focuses for K-12 users, but even higher ed schools that have Google Apps for Education could benefit from it.
And great. And can you get us started with maybe a couple of tips that you have, the reasons that we can use Google Classroom in our classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have 50 tips here in the book, but this is certainly not exhaustive of all the things and ways that you can use Google Classroom. Google Classroom does Google Drive management, so all the awesome things that you can do with Google Docs and Google Drive just integrate in so nicely with Google Classroom, and it makes your life just so much easier to just get started and get rolling with students using digital tools. So my favorite tip for using Google Classroom is to give feedback faster. The best way to motivate kids and to help them to learn is the faster you can give feedback. And so when I assign work to students, I'm able to start giving them feedback before they've even submitted it. And so the whole process of how Google Classroom organizes student work and how it allows me to have access to it just allows me to give students feedback that much faster. Also, as students turn in work, it gives me a count. It's like shows how many students have turned it in and how many haven't. So I can really target those kids who are struggling, who maybe haven't turned it in for because they didn't understand it, or who knows what reason they didn't turn it in. But I'm able to click on that number right in Google Classroom and figure out which students I need to go have a chat with and see if they need some more help. And
hey, Alice,
yeah,
I need your help on that one.
Okay.
If I do like a form, so let's say I'm doing like a form with the kids,
yes,
and I put the link in for the form, the kids have to go back and click that they finished the assignment, right? Or is there another way around that?
No, and that's something that I really like is that I don't have to use Google Classroom only for digital assignments. I can ask the kids to go outside and play some sort of physical activity, and then they just come back into Google Classroom where I've listed the assignment to go outside or to fill out this Google form, and they click mark as done. So they check it off. And so I ask them to provide evidence in a variety of ways. So with the Google form, the evidence is in the form, right? I know they had submitted it. Their name is in the spreadsheet, so that's an easy way to do it. But if they're doing other digital tools, they take a screenshot, they turn that in, and then they can turn that in. Or they can write an explanation saying what they did and how they participated, and they use that to turn it into just a comment. So my third tip is that you should always use Google Classroom all the time to get started. So all of your directions start in Google Classroom. All of your assignments start in Google Classroom, because that's going to make life so nice when you have a sub, because we all know it's so much easier to just go to work sick than to have a sub, right? So instead, if your students are used to, they come in, they go on Google Classroom, and the directions are there, and it doesn't have to be a digital assignment. That's just where you're putting the directions of what to do. If that's what they're used to, when there's a sub, students are going to come in, they check Google Classroom, and they know what to do. There is no downtime. Students immediately start getting to work, and you do not lose a day of productivity just because you can't be in the classroom.
Now, Alice, how could you do that in a classroom that's not one-to-one?
Well, that's great, because even if I only have a couple of devices and students are BYOD, or even if I only have one classroom computer, we're just talking about pulling up what the assignments are that students can view it. Now, really, Google Classroom is not ideal for a situation where you only have one device, because what does Google Classroom allow you to do is to assign work and collect it, right? So, you know, trying to cycle kids in where they sign out and log in one at a time to turn in an assignment on one device would probably be a little more cumbersome than I wanted to. But even if I had six devices, that wouldn't be so bad, as that the students sign out and sign in and turn in their work right through Google Classroom. And especially if we're talking about just getting started with these are the directions, get ready to go, you only need one device for that.
Right. And couldn't you just train your kids to have somebody that's responsible each morning to go to the computer, it's hooked up to the projector, pull up the assignment, and put it up on the screen. So if you're not there, it doesn't make any difference, right?
It's all about classroom workflow, right? Whatever you do, do it often and do it repeatedly.
Totally.
That's not true for just Google Classroom. That's just everything in general.
And have the kids running the show.
Of course.
You like to dance often in my classroom.
I love that. We like to celebrate the chupacabra and give out cat poop.
Why say what?
I have a plastic cat that you put jelly beans in it. And when the kids do a good job, I'm like, good job, cat poop for you. And I go put it on their desk and it poops out a jelly bean or three. And they're so excited to get one jelly bean. It's like, yes, the kids make shirts. They're so excited about it.
I just got cat poop. Hooray. That is awesome.
Is that part of Google Classroom, though?
Is it what?
Is that part of Google Classroom?
I'm sorry. Google Classroom does not have cat poop. Please tweet.
Okay.
Well, we need an add-on or something then, Alice. What's up with that?
Add-on.
Right on. So how about, can you give us a tip for using Google Classroom that didn't make the book, that is still something cool, that, you know, so that the listeners of the show are like, hey, we got something extra here that's not even in the book.
Absolutely. And I have a lot of extra tips. I have a blog post of 60 things math teachers can do with Google Classroom on alicekeeler.com. So one of them I really like is that you can model mathematics through Google Classroom. I want students to be able to explain their thought process. So I'm going to be able to supply students with Google Drawings or Google Slides that sets them up with some sort of an image or allows them to do research and find an image and stick that in there. And then they can annotate over the image to say how that relates to math, how they're going to find math in real life.
That's a great one. I mean, that's a great way for them to demonstrate their thinking and show it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, other things that are not in there, now that the co-teacher has come around, I think that this is a really great, Google Classroom is the perfect way to do response to intervention. As I find students who are advanced or struggling based on different assessments that we give, you create a Google Classroom and you assign a teacher at your grade level. One person's doing group A, one person's doing group B, and one teacher's doing group C. And so depending on what the needs of the student are, you assign them to a separate Google Classroom for them to work at their level with the teacher who's assigned to do the response to intervention.
So, Alice, so somebody gets the book, right, and they're looking through it. Do they start with one? Or is it just like potluck, just open it to a page?
I think you could do potluck.
Let's go with 23.
In particular order, number one is create a class announcement. So, I mean, that's a great place to start because, of course, as soon as you sign up for Google Classroom and you open up and see the stream, the first thing you can do is create an announcement. So that's number one. But honestly, all of them are just tips for how to use it. It's not a step-by-step do this and then do this and then do this guide. It's really just ideas for you to actually implement it with your kids.
It's more cookbook style. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Great. Hey, let's talk to the people that might not be quite as comfortable or familiar with Google Classroom in general. How much does it cost, and how do you get this, and what is it? I mean, what is Google Classroom?
Well, it's priceless, so they have to give it away for free. So it's part of the Google Apps for Education suite. So if your school is running Gmail and Google Docs and all those things, you already have Google Classroom. Unfortunately, you have to have Google Apps. So if you're having your students use a Gmail account, unfortunately, you can't use Google Apps. Or is it Google? You cannot use Google Classroom if you don't have Google Apps. I forgot the rest of the question.
You cannot use Google Classroom if you don't have Google Apps for Education. Is that right?
That's correct. It's turned on by default.
Right. So let's say somebody's listening right now and they're like, whoa, this sounds really cool. I'd like to get started on this. Where would you direct them just to, I mean, you know, you and I know when we talk to people about technology sometimes, they're just overwhelmed. Like,
yeah.
What button do I?
Hey, take it easy on me, Tim. Take it easy, dude. That's not cool. Call me out on the show like that, bro.
Just tell them to jump on Twitter. when you log into Gmail, you have the apps chooser, which some people call the waffle, that 3x3 grid of dots. And when you click on that, it shows you that you have access to Google Drive and YouTube and those kinds of things. And then if you click on more, it shows you more apps. And one of the additional apps is Google Classroom. So just click on that, and it's going to ask you, and it's going to take you to the Google Classroom page, which you can get there directly with classroom.google.com. And it's going to say, are you a teacher or a student? Choose teacher. It's kind of a hassle if you accidentally pick the wrong one. And then it's so easy and obvious to get started because it has a little arrow that says, click here on this plus sign to create a class. So that's just the best way to go. It's just the apps chooser from Gmail, go to more apps, find the classroom app, and just create a class.
And are you pretty confident that someone with, you know, a reasonable amount of technological competency could pick this up on their own and start learning how to use the actual app there?
I'm fairly confident that even someone who feels that they are a tech noob and are nervous about technology would be able to get started with Google Classroom and be successful.
Alice, what about a guy who would actually debate you on whether an iPad or Chromebook's better or not? Would he be able to do it?
No chance.
No. That person's clearly not wise.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up any wounds, Tim.
Oh, sure. Bring up the old wounds there. Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't seen that show, be sure to check that one out. It's
No, please don't watch it or listen.
He's now pulling it down off of everywhere.
I really enjoyed the last time that I was on your show, guys. It was good for me.
Yeah, for yourself.
I think that launched you into, like, stardom.
You are personally responsible for all of my success.
those three listeners that we were personally responsible for, they're not following you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could help you out by making me look like a fool.
Hey, Alice, I had a question. So let's say you're in a district that doesn't use, like, the Chrome browser. Like, is this going to work on other browsers the same way? I mean, I know a lot of Google products are obviously optimized on Chrome. So how's this do on other browsers where a teacher doesn't necessarily have options on what they're provided as tools because the decisions aren't theirs?
It's web-based. It should work on any browser. And in fact, I have so many Google accounts. Sometimes I'm using my Chrome and I'm using my Incognito for Chrome and I need to look up something in Classroom. So I open up in Safari or Firefox. I mean, I've done that. So it absolutely works in multiple browsers. I have not tested it out in Internet Explorer.
I have.
Okay. So tell me, how does it work in Internet Explorer?
It works.
As would be expected.
How many actual Google accounts do you have? And then the second follow-up question is, how many Twitter accounts do you have for other people?
Those are all excellent questions. So I have my personal Gmail. I've got my professional Gmail. I have my Alice Keeler as a business email. I've got my Fresno State Google Apps account. I have my Boise State Google Apps account. I have a Google Apps account for training purposes. And then I have all the fake ones that I make just for fun. But we'll just go. Let's go with 5, I think. And then Twitter, you know, I made a fake one for Catelyn Tucker. If you look up the Catelyn Tucker seagull, that one's me.
Nice.
I did not like that.
That's so just how could it be fun to have a fake Google account? I'm just trying to figure that one out.
Well, you know, I'll start a project. I have an idea for a I have an idea for a project, so I want a Gmail account to go with it so that I can store Google Docs along with that project and I can collaborate with people around it where we share a Gmail. Or if I want a special YouTube channel that's just for that project, I'll make a Gmail so that I can have the YouTube channel.
No, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear how you play tricks on people with it or something. Come on.
I would embarrass people. That would be wrong.
Oh, yeah, right. Stock people.
Oh, wait, what's that cardboard mask you have behind you? What in the world is that silly thing?
Cardboard. Google cardboard.
Google cardboard.
Why are you laughing? That's real.
It is, Tim.
It's a real thing. It's Google cardboard. Seriously, you don't know about this?
No.
So Google, it gets does virtual reality. So they have these Google cardboard. They're $1. So you put your phone in there. And you have a Google Cardboard app, and now you are taking your kids on an adventure somewhere around the world. So at Google I.O. recently, they released version 2 of Google Cardboard. It'd be lovely if someone would give me one. And a program called Expeditions, where the teacher is able to control the Google Cardboard for everyone in their class. And so together, they go on a virtual field trip. Kind of cool.
I just got a DM from Sergey. He said one's on its way.
Perfect.
Oh, my. All right. Well, now it's time to play a little game.
Okay. Yeah.
That we're going to call Alice, Alice, Alice. That's the name of the game. And so, Scott, why don't you tell our audience who Alice is going to be playing for today and what she is going to be playing for in terms of the winnings?
Well, Tim, Ms. Alice Keeler will be competing for 2. Yes, 2. She can't just do one. She does it over the top. So Brian Friedland in New Jersey and Adam Scalin, I'm sorry, Adam, from Milwaukee. Adam and Brian will be awarded a free copy of Alice's new 50 Things You Can Do with Google Classroom book. And you can find that at a retailer near you, mainly Amazon, right?
Only Amazon.
Yeah, they're near everybody. And Brian and Adam, cross your fingers and hope that somehow Alice, the Google Classroom expert, is able to pull off a win for you.
That's right. She's got to answer 2 out of the 3 questions from our little game today correctly in order for these fine gentlemen to win a copy of her book. So, Alice, here's your first question. Now, my personal favorite famous Alice is Andy Davis. You know who Andy Davis is?
No.
Uh-oh. Well,
Tim's aging himself.
Yes. She's otherwise known as Alice, the live-in maid on the
Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch. You ever seen the Brady Bunch?
I have seen the Brady Bunch.
You have? Okay. Did you know that Alice, that her name was Alice, the maid on there?
I did. I did know that her name was Alice.
Okay. I know you're not that old. Actually, in doing research on this, I found out that there are many Alice Keelers on public record, but I'll have you know that you are the youngest Alice Keeler on public record.
I think I'm the only living one.
Yeah, I think it's because a bunch of them were like 148, so that was kind of weird. But
all right, let's move this along.
Okay. So the question is, what was Alice's last name on the TV show? Was it A,
Hertzmeyer,
or was it B,
Nelson,
or was it C,
Keeler?
It's B.
That's it? You're just going to pick it that fast. Okay, well, the answer is actually, yes, you are correct. It is Nelson. What did you say?
I said Brian's one step closer, and Adam.
And Adam, okay.
I'm Brown.
Here we go, Alice. Here's your next question.
No, Brian Adam. Wait. Isn't that a Canadian singer, Bryan Adam?
Okay, another of our favorite Alice's is Alice Cooper.
Okay.
Okay, the rock singer. You know who Alice Cooper is, right?
Yes, with the eye makeup.
And by the way, which one of these Alice's were you named after? Anyway.
I was named after my grandmother.
Okay. I didn't know if it was. I was hoping it wasn't Alice Cooper. Anyway, can you spot the true little-known fact about the man that got famous from, you know, wrapping the snake around him and going on stage and so on? So which one of these is actually true about Alice Cooper? Is it A?
Alice Cooper received an honorary PhD, Doctorate of Performing Arts degree from Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona, in May of 2004.
Or is it B?
While Cooper was playing in a stadium show in the 1970s, a huge fan threw a live chicken on stage. That's right. Cooper bit off the head of the chicken and drank its blood.
Yuck. Or is it C?
Alice wears a silver bracelet on his left wrist, which can only be removed with a key possessed solely by his mother, Bernie.
All right, so your three choices, Alice. You have A, did he earn an honorary doctorate? Or B, did he bite the head off of a live chicken in a show? Or is it C, that he has a bracelet with a key owned only by his mother?
So I want to feel like I heard that chicken thing was a rumor, so I'm going to go with A.
Honorary doctorate. And Alice, you are correct. That's absolutely right. Yes. Yes, the biting the head off of the live chicken was a rumor. The true story is that somebody did throw a chicken on the stage, and he was getting rid of the chicken, and he's from Detroit, so he thought chickens could fly. So he threw the chicken up in the air, expecting the chicken just to fly out of the stadium. But it went down to the crowd where they ripped it to pieces and threw pieces of the chicken back on stage. Now, he didn't actually do anything to the chicken. Oh, that was beautiful. All right.
I mean, that was depressing, Tim. I don't even know if I can go on anymore.
Yeah, okay. Let's go with our last.
Bye, Mom and Dad. See you, Mom and Dad.
Our final question. Give it your best shot. No Googling. Come on. Let's see how much you know about the most famous Alice of all, Alice in Wonderland. All right. So which of these little-known facts about Alice in Wonderland is actually true? Is it A?
Catherine Beaumont, who was the Disney voice of Alice, narrates the Alice in Wonderland ride at Disneyland.
Or is it B?
Disney's cartoon Alice in Wonderland was the only Disney animated film that was never re-released in theaters.
Or is it C?
Disney's Alice in Wonderland movie has fewer songs and characters than any other Disney animated musical to date.
So your three choices, Alice, are A, is it that Catherine Beaumont narrates the voice of Alice in Wonderland on the ride, or narrates the ride, excuse me, or is it B, it's the only Disney film never re-released in theaters, or is it C, that it has fewer songs and characters than any other Disney musical to date? What do you think?
You're saying it could possibly be still in the Disney vault, Tim? Is that...
Well, no, we know it's on video, but that doesn't mean it was re-released to the theaters. So.
I don't remember it being re-released to the theaters since I've been living.
Alice, this is a chance between a 66% or 100%.
You're paying me on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with B.
Never re-released. Well, the correct answer, unfortunately, was A.
Oh, interesting.
Have you been to Disneyland? Have you been to Disneyland, Alice?
I have.
Have you been on the Alice in Wonderland ride?
Is that the one with the caterpillar? Are you riding it?
I don't remember.
Yes. Yeah, it's all trippy, and there's like black lights, and you're
moving
around. And That's all the rides at Disneyland are all trippy like that. Wait a second.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and everything.
Winnie the Pooh.
All right. Well, Scott, why don't you tell us how Alice did on today's quiz?
Alice, you got 2 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Yay!
Again, congratulations, Alice. You won absolutely nothing. But Brian Adams of Milwaukee, New Jersey, you just won Alice Keeler's new 50 Things You Could Do with Google Classroom at a retailer named Amazon near you. Check it out. It's an awesome book.
All right. So it's Adam Scanlon and Brian Friedlander. And so I have one for each.
All right. So, Alice, thanks so much for being a good sport and playing along with our little game here and dealing with all the grossness and everything. So we really appreciate you doing that and sharing all your great ideas from your book. How can your new fans connect with you in the future?
Awesome. I'm on Twitter at Alice Keeler, and you can always find my blog, alicekeeler.com.
And it's K-E-E-L-E-R, all E's for the vowels in Keeler.
Although I do own alicekeller.com also.
If you'd like to be a future Bedley Boat, I can't even say my own name. Oh, my goodness. If you'd like to be a future Bedley Brothers show guest to have the guest play for you on an upcoming show, check our schedule at timbedley.com or follow us on Twitter, and then we'll let you know who's on the coming up shows. Tweet at them. Tweet at those guests coming up on the shows. Offer them bribes. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to be a winner like Brian and Adam. And definitely we're the winners today, too, Alice, by having you on the show. So thanks again for coming on.
And thanks for watching, Mom and Dad.
Thanks for watching, Mom and Dad.